items that are needed in our food pantry. Praise the name of the Lord. And again, I just want to say to you, you know, if you have it in your heart that somebody that's on your heart, your mind, and you want to get a box of food, get a box of food and, you know, take it to them. These are, I know, trying times for everyone, and it gives us an opportunity. You know, it's for us, for the church. And so don't be shy about this. Don't be shy, okay? That's what it's there for. And then secondly is for, you know, whoever comes on your heart in the community, and you want to take that and minister to them, feel free. And then also just simply saying that November the 2nd, we will put out a sign-up list to come in here in October. November the 2nd, that's Saturday, that we're going to have our men's conference, Man of the Spirit. And it's going to be a really good time that we're going to have in the presence of the Lord, and a lot of good things. And so mark the date, mark the time, all right? And plan on being there, all right? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. You know, Romans chapter 1. I'm going to continue this message that I was with last week, is the power of God. And it's the power of God for everyone that believes. The power of God. The power of God is released into your life as you believe upon the Lord. Now, what we're looking at here in particular has to do with the salvation of the Lord. But I think you'll see from a biblical standpoint that salvation is a broader definition. When it comes to Scripture, it's a much broader definition than it is simply of taking the word salvation and saying that that was the date and the time that when you got saved. All right, salvation and the word salvation is a broader base word and power and work of God in our lives. And it comes by the believing upon the Lord. We believe the Lord when it comes to being born again by the Spirit of God. You enter into the kingdom of God because you've had a born again experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in John chapter 3, and we looked at it last week, that one must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And that it's very difficult, maybe, by the intellect to try to understand what it means to be born again. You know, because all those that try to understand it, it has no reasoning to it. You have to humble yourself like a little child, and you have to come God's way. And God's way is that you are willing to believe upon the Lord. That you're willing to believe upon the Lord. And then there's a definite change. There's a transformation that comes into your life. Now, everybody has a different experience at that time. When another word that we use is a biblical word is being saved. You know, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. You must come into the salvation of the Lord. You must be saved. It's not a matter of being a good person. You may be a very good person. You may have high moral values. You may be a person of great integrity and the like. But that has nothing to do with the standard of God, because the standard of God is the righteousness of God. You know, people get deceived over that. Well, I'm just as good as the next guy is. Well, you may be. As a matter of fact, you may even be a little bit better than that. But the standard is not the next guy beside you. The standard of appeasement from the wrath of God is the gift of the righteousness of God. And the only way that you can receive it is by believing upon the Lord. Now, that's promised, and when that happens, the power of God comes into our life. Let me go on here and look at Romans again, chapter 1, and looking at verse 16, a very well-known verse. I'm sure you've learned it since childhood. But it says here in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Now, I just want to stop there for just a minute. You know, a word was talking about stepping in. And I got a word that the Lord gave me, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But I want you to see right here, the evil one will resist you in any way that he possibly can. You know, what is your back down button? Do you have a back down button? I know that there's an area of your life that you have to make a determination that you're not going to let that cause you to be intimidated by the evil one or by the enemy. You know, be ashamed. Like, for example, be ridiculed or be made fun of. Maybe you just can't stand it. Maybe you just don't want to be ostracized or you don't want to be different. This is all part of the price that we pay of coming into the kingdom of God and walking with the Lord. And no matter what that might be, you know, ask the Lord to give you power. Ask the Lord to give you power, whatever that weakness would be. You know, I don't speak up. I have it in my heart that I need to speak up. I want to speak up, but I get so intimidated, or I'm afraid of the ridicule. I'm afraid of being made fun of, or whatever that would be. You know, the evil one will always use that against you as long as he thinks that he can. You know, and yet this is your salvation and your Savior and the Lord of your life. Ask for the power of God. Ask for the power of God. You know, let the Holy Spirit raise you up to be the witness that he wants you to be. You know, from years ago, this was in Louisville, and I woke up on a Saturday morning, and I was in the Lord, and I was with the Lord, and spending time in the Word and prayer, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, "You need to go get a haircut." You know, that was back in the time when I used to have a little bit of hair, you know. And so you need to go get a haircut. Go to the Oxford Mall and get a haircut. Well, okay, Lord, I'll go to the Oxford Mall, which is on the south side of Louisville. I don't even know if it exists now. But I went, and, you know, I went in there, and I just felt it. I felt the Spirit of God upon me, you know. And that's kind of crazy, isn't it? You know, I've got the Spirit of God on me to go get a haircut, you know. Well, I went there, and then there was the place. It was right there in the mall. And I said, okay, and I guess that's where I'm going today. And I knew that God wanted me to witness to somebody. I knew that he did, and I was hunting. That's what I was doing. I was on a hunt. And I got out of my car. I went into the mall, and, man, I'm like this, you know. I'm looking for my victim, you know what I mean? You know, that I'm getting ready to hunt down. You know, and I knew it. And, you know, I walked around a little bit. You know, I had seen the haircut place, and nothing. Well, nothing, you know, so, okay, all right, you know, well, I guess I'll go get my hair cut, and, you know, this was a Saturday, so, you know, back in that day, you know, I mean, it was a crowded place on a Saturday getting a haircut, and I went in there, and there I was, and I waited for my turn, and I got in the center chair. There was three guys right there, and there was a whole row back here, a whole row of chairs full of men that were sitting there waiting to get their hair cut. And, you know, he had mirrors here. The chairs were back there where the men were and everything like that. You know, and had you turn toward the mirror, you know, and they're, you know, cutting your hair and they're talking to you and all that thing. Well, this man that's cutting my hair and the other barber, you know, they start making derogatory remarks about God. And they start, you know, singing and they, you know, little phrases, you know, I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but, you know, Janis Joplin's song, "Oh Lord, Buy Me a Mercedes Benz," you know, and so they were saying that, and they were laughing up a storm and all that, and it didn't dawn on me at all about, you know, this is who you witness to. It was just natural, and I said, "You guys, you don't believe in the Lord?" And they just laughed real good, you know, and said, "No, we don't believe in the Lord. Why? Do you believe on that, all of that blankety, blankety, blank, blank stuff?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I do. I said, I do believe. And I said, the Lord has saved me from my sins, you know, and he's blessed me so many ways." And I'm just speaking simple things. And the more I spoke, the more rattled they got. And it wasn't me rattling them because I wasn't like debating. God didn't, I've been a good debater in the past, okay? But I wasn't debating with them in any form or any fashion. It was just, I just had a calm, a humble spirit that the Holy Spirit had put on me and prepared me. You know, I wasn't going to be confrontational. I wasn't confrontational. You know, they could have run circles around me in argument in whatever way they wanted to, but it didn't matter. I spoke from my heart. And I just simply told what the Lord meant to me. You know, and when I did that, they became so rattled that, you know, they were shaken. And when I got done, they wanted to change the subject. They just wanted to change the subject. They shut up real quick about all that, making fun of Jesus and making fun of those that, you know, claim to be saved and everything else that has to do with the gospel. And I turned around and they let me out of that chair, and I wish you could have seen it. I had a captive audience that I didn't even know I had. Every one of those men that were sitting in those chairs were just sitting there with a blank stare looking at me. Nobody was reading a magazine. Nobody was reading a newspaper. Nobody was doing anything else. But they are just sitting there dumbfounded. And what happened to them that day is they got confronted with the living God. Now that comes through the power of God. And that's the kind of witness that the Lord wants to make you and he wants to make me. We're not relying upon clever words or any other thing. You just have to be yourself and be genuine in the Lord and commit yourself to the way of the Lord and allow yourself to be the mouthpiece of Almighty God. Because if you're not the mouthpiece of Almighty God, who will be? So, we give these things. We all have weaknesses in our lives. We all have hindrances, and the evil one, he wants to use every hindrance. He wants to use everything against you as a challenge. I felt this morning that, you know, that somebody or someone is that feeling like that you're advancing in the Lord and feeling good about things that are going on in your life, and then there's been some frustrations that have recently come. And they really like knocked you for a loop. That would be one of my mother's phrases, you know. It knocked you for a loop. And, you know, it's kind of, and a little bit of confusion has come in. And an attack from the evil one has come in as well. And, you know, and he's the accuser of the brethren. He's accusing you. Oh, well, see there, you know, you thought you felt so good about the way things are going in your life and in your walk before the Lord. And you're not really getting anywhere in the Lord. I mean, just look at you now. But he's a liar. He's a liar, and you have to resist him. You must resist him. You must resist the attacks of the evil one. He'll try to change your mind. He'll try to rob you and hinder you and cause you to take three steps back for every one step you take forward so that you will never be the effective person that God wants you to be and that he will make you into. Again, it's not a matter of that, you know, well, you know, I don't know the Bible well enough. Well, it's got nothing to do with it. You know, you're going to stay there in that one and never be the real witness that God really wants you to be. Well, I don't know the Bible. I don't know Scripture well enough. You know, or fear. I'm afraid I'm going to be asked, you know, a question in the Bible that I can't answer. When are you ever going to get prepared? These are hindrances that the evil one uses against the righteous because you are a shining light of the glory of God. You may not feel like that you're a shining light of the glory of God, but you are. You're a shining light of the glory of God. You know, and when you just speak from the heart and just be who you are and just speak in the simplicity of the love of God and witness of what the reality of what Jesus has done for you. When you do that, there is a power that is released by the hand of Almighty God. It's not based upon whether you feel it. It's not based upon whether you see it. Just know that it's going forth. Because God wants to save. He wants to save. We allow so many hindrances in our lives. Put them aside. Be who the Lord wants you to be. Be who the Lord wants you to be. Deal with those areas that you feel like they're difficult for you. They're difficult for you. Everybody has them. Everybody has them. Deal with them before the hand of God and invite and welcome the power of Almighty God into that realm of whatever it would be. Invite the power of the glory of God into that realm, and the Holy Spirit will cause you to be made triumphant. Some years ago, I went to this man's house to witness to them. And God puts people, if you open up your heart, you got to open up your heart. You open up your heart and be led by the Spirit of God. Open your heart and be led by the Spirit of God. And when you got people that come onto your heart, come onto your mind, get up out of your chair and come out of your routine and go. How the evil one wants you and I to be so tied up into our own little world and everything that concerns us about our lives. It's a ploy from the evil one. It's a ploy. This is like prayer. It's just like prayer. You know, I'll pray when I get time. Okay. All right. Good luck. You know? Good luck. That's not the problem. I'm sorry to tell it the way that it is, but the problem is priorities. That's the problem. Not that time. It's got nothing to do with time. It has to do with all your priorities in life. We wrestle with that. You have to wrestle with these things. That's how you go forward. This type of gospel that goes forth that makes it look like that if you're really walking with God, that there's no conflict or there's no difficulty. It's like walking on air. And if something goes wrong in some form or some fashion, then, well, you know, I must be doing something wrong, because being a Christian, nothing's supposed to go wrong. There's doctrine out there like that. You know, and what the evil one does with that is he uses it as a tool of condemnation. He uses it as a tool of condemnation against the righteous, because the righteous have conflicts that go on in their lives. You know, they have resistance that go on against them. They have problems. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise a hand, but I'll raise mine. Anybody got any problems in here? Right? And the Lord will lead you through. There are problems that you end up being gloriously victorious over by the power of God. It's the power of God. Making room, making place for the power of God. Having an expectation for the power of God. Knowing that the power of God has been given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorious victories. I'll just speak for me, but sometimes tremendous failures. Okay. But you trust the Lord with it all. You trust the Lord with it all, because he's got a plan and he's got a will and he's got a purpose. And when you came into the kingdom of God, you know, he had a divine destiny. He has a divine destiny for every single one of us here in the kingdom of God. He has an equipping that is the power of the Holy Spirit, and he equips you for the purpose and the calling in which he's called you into. It has nothing to do with your personality. It has nothing to do with your talents. It has nothing to do with your abilities. It's not by any of those things. It's by the power of Almighty God. He'll make you into what you never dreamed you ever could be. Like Moses. Who would ever dream that Moses would become who he became? I won't get into the story of Moses, but, you know, Lord, I can't talk. I can't talk, Lord. You know. Now, well, he could talk. But God brought a brokenness in his life where he wasn't so self-assured. He wasn't so full of himself. And God brought him to the place to where he was totally dependent. Now, we don't like that, okay, in our natural man, that God unravels you. He unravels the power of self-confidence. He unravels the power of self-confidence so that you no longer are being ruled or dictated by self-confidence, but that what you're being ruled by is confidence in him. The Spirit does it. The Spirit does it. I can say, oh, I'm going to put my confidence in the Lord, and then the next thing I know is that there's a power within me that I'm leaning on or that I'm relying upon, that it's going to come such a natural thing in such a natural way. But it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that brings this about. And he unravels you. And, you know, I don't like that feeling at all. You know, I don't like that feeling at all. But praise God, I recognize it. Recognize it. Recognize it, that the Lord is doing that work. And he's not going to let go of you. He's not going to let go of you. He's going to keep you the whole time. He's going to keep you. But he's taking you out of self-reliance, and he's bringing you into relying upon him. And he is going to unravel you in order to do it. It's okay. You become the vessel of God. There'd be times when you lead people to Jesus. Don't be afraid to try to lead somebody to Jesus. You know? Seems like we all want to talk about church, but we never want to talk about Jesus. I'm telling you right now, church never saved anybody. Are you hearing me? Church never saved anybody. Jesus does. Are you with me there? That's who saves. That's who saves. But we see, we feel, because that tells you the power that's in the name of Jesus, doesn't it? Because we feel a little bit more comfortable talking about our church. And, you know, we can rattle it off and talking about our church. But then when it comes to talk about Jesus, there's just like this intimidation right here, and there's this resistance that somehow is coming against you, a little bit more timid about bringing up Jesus and the name of Jesus. Because that's where salvation is found. You don't get saved coming to church. You get saved because you believe upon the holy, righteous name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus, and only the name of Jesus. And boy, when you let go of that one, there's power that goes forth, you know? There's power that goes forth. It's so funny because Beatrice found a picture. She showed it to me, and it would have been in a 70s picture. Oh, I'm not going to show you, but you should have seen me, man. Oh, I tell you what, my red and green and white and black checkered pants that I had on. Whew! Man, they were something, I tell you. I had my sandals on, right? Had my sandal on, had my white belt, right? Had my white belt and my yellow shirt. I even had a full head of hair. It was really quite amazing. But she found this picture. This just this last week, she found this picture and said, "Who's this guy right here?" You know, and I said, "He's long gone." But anyway. But you know what? It was a picture. It was amazing. It was a picture with the man that laid hands on me for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's who it was. You know, his name was David Watkins. And David's been long gone, would be with the Lord. He was very much an older man, even at that time. But he's the man that learned about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and laid hands on me and was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, and what caught me about David? What caught me? I mean, it just caught me like dead in my tracks. And that was that he didn't want to talk about church. He wanted to talk about Jesus. And it caught my notice. This was a man that talked about Jesus. That's what he talked about. And I want to be honest with you, and I missed it. So I'm going to put the blame on me, but maybe I missed it. It's me. But I tell you what, whether it's preacher or deacon or anything else, my experience has been always wanting to talk about their church, but never talking about Jesus. Here was a man that wasn't talking about church. He was talking about Jesus. Oh, it caught me. He talks like he knows him. He talks like he knows him or something. You find this power, and you become the witness that God intended for you to be. You find this power, and he will turn you into a salvation machine. How many countless people, when we go to heaven, I don't know what kind of welcoming it's going to be there, but can't you just see the people that you didn't even know about, that you talked about Jesus, and they're going to be there, and they're going to be a part of the welcoming committee. Oh, thank you. I'm here today because you spoke this or you spoke that. How many? Sometimes that we plant seeds, sometimes we water, and sometimes we harvest. You know, we're not doing this for like a feather in our cap or anything else. We're just being what Jesus wants us to be. We're just being the light that we were made to be, that we were called to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a mission. You have a mission. It's not living for yourself. It's not your thing. That's not your mission. Do not live like those that are of the world. Do not live like those that are of the world. Live out the destiny that God has ordained for you, and he will bring it all to you in every way. I tell you, when you start praying, say, oh, Lord, and that's, forgive me for my high horse today, okay? All right? But if we want to find the power of God, you got to be a person of prayer. If a church wants to find the power of God, it's got to be a praying church. If the church won't pray, there won't be no power. We want the blessings without the work, the labor in the spirit. This is pinnacle for us. You, me, us. That we be. When you get on the floor in your prayer closet or whatever it would be and you start praying, you say, oh, Lord God, lead me this week, oh, Lord God. Show me what you want me to do. Oh, Lord God, open the doors to those that you want me to talk to. Oh, Lord God, send me where you want me to send me. Tell me what you want me to do this week, Lord. Here I am, oh, Lord God, your servant. Wait till you see what God will do then. Wait till you see what he will do then. Because you just made yourself available to the Lord. Make yourself available. So we went to this guy. He was so concerned about his brother. He said, will you go with me? Will you go with me and tell him about Jesus? And I'll present to him the plan of salvation. You know, okay, let's go. We went. Oh, it's so chaotic that day. We went in, you know, he had three or four little wild children, you know, and they were just, you know, hanging off the lamps and everything else and screaming and everything, you know, and his wife was in the kitchen, and it was just a doorway, but the living room, the kitchen, and, you know, and she was back there, and she did stick her head out and said, oh, yeah, hi, you know, all of that, and kept on with her preparations and works and everything. He had the TV blaring so loud, you know, it was, you know, I could hardly hear myself think. You know, and I'm trying to tell him about the plan of salvation. Well, he was about as interested, you know, as nothing. But I went ahead and did it. I felt the Lord go, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And that's exactly what I did. And he was just completely disinterested. He was not interested in the least little bit. Okay? Well, by that time, I'm ready to wrap it up and get out of here, right? About that time, his wife leans out of that doorway with tears in her eyes, and she says, would you explain that again? And she got saved that day. His brother was killed 1 month later on a head-on car collision. Because, see, he was an alcoholic. He drank a lot. He crossed the center line. He lost his life a month after that day. The hand of God. The power of God that belongs to you in Jesus. Look at this again. 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And then it gives a qualification here. I'll give you, first of all, let me give you the word salvation is sotera, S-O-T-E-R-I-A, sotera. It means salvation, it means preservation, it means deliverance. It's a salvation, preservation of deliverance. That's its definition of sotera. And then it says right here, again, it says it is the power as of last week even. It's the word dunamis. It's the word dunamis, but I want you to see something. It's the same word for power as we see in Acts 1:8, right? You know, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But it's being directed in a different way. And like, for example, I'll show you here. Like, for example, it says here again, it says, it is the power of God for, did you see that? For salvation. And I'm not trying to give you, I'm the last person to be giving you any kind of, language lessons or anything, but the word for is a preposition. It's used after a noun or an adjective or a verb. Now listen, in order to introduce more information or to indicate the quality of a thing. All right, so you understand that this dunamis here is geared toward this salvation. This salvation, this power is being directed to the preserving power of Almighty God. This is what comes into your life when you're born again by the Spirit of God, is the preserving power. And the way that is defined is to be preserved in Jesus. It's to be preserved in Jesus. This is the power that has been given to you and to me when we've come into the salvation of Almighty God. You know, again, sotera means salvation, it means preservation, it means deliverance. Now, listen to this real carefully. The root word for sotera is the word soter. Soter, S-O-T-E-R, that's the root word, soter, and listen to what it means. It means a savior or a deliverer. So this salvation, you understand, that comes into your life, it's rooted and grounded in a relationship with an individual. That individual is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so what that tells you and I is that salvation is on the basis of a fellowship and a relationship with the Savior, a relationship with the Deliverer. God doesn't ever do anything in a process or mechanical way. Are you with me there? You know, he does not do that. You know, that's what we've done with the salvation of God. Nor is he a God of the past tense. He's a God of the present tense. And it's not a matter. See, we take it and we lump it all together. We lump it all together. And when we got saved, we call that the salvation of God. If you're walking with the Lord, you are entering in and walking in and retaining and receiving the working of the salvation of God now. Now, let me give you an example of this. Just listen to this real quick. This comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. And it says, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us," now listen, "but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now, that word power is the same word. It's the same word, dunamis, there again. But notice that I want you to give this. The word saved here, I know you probably know this, sozo, S-O-Z-O. And what does how's that defined? It means safe, well, or safety. Safe, well, or safety. Now listen carefully. Also, sozo means this. It means the word save, saved, and saving. So you understand that, you know, we enter into the salvation of God. You're walking in the salvation of God right now. The way that you're walking in the salvation of the Lord is through a fellowship and through a relationship. That's why so often that salvation and relationship with Jesus is compared to a marriage fellowship, a marriage relationship. You know, you don't just get married and then there's no relationship involved, right? You know, you get married and the very essence of that marriage is a fellowship and a relationship. So it is with the salvation of Almighty God. You are walking in the salvation of God. You're yet to walk into the salvation of God. You have walked in the salvation of God. Why? Because it's the basis of a fellowship. More than that, it's not just a basis of a fellowship and a relationship. It's a basis of a covenant agreement. It's the covenant. You know, Jesus, right? You know, he had the Last Supper, right? And there he was, and he said, you know, "This is the new covenant in my blood." So you understand that what Jesus did on the cross is that he made and accomplished a new covenant, so that you and I could be saved as heirs of that covenant. And that is the salvation of Almighty God. Then you begin to understand, it's not just looking back to the past and say, "Well, I'm saved. I got saved back there." You know, are you walking with God? Do you have a fellowship with God? Are you still walking forward in the Lord? Or is every one of your experiences in salvation and with Jesus all back in the past? Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. It's walking with Jesus now. Well, then another person will say, "Well, you know, that you're talking about works. This is just work." No, no. It's all by the power of God. It's by the power of God. Now, do I play a part in that? Yes, I do. What do I do? I do the one thing that I can do every time, all the time, and continuously. No matter how weak I am, no matter how strong I am, or anything in between. No matter if I'm strong, no matter if I'm encouraged, no matter if I'm discouraged, or whatever else it would be. I can yield my heart. That's how you walk with God. You yield your heart. You yield your heart. You continue. Because see, he wants more of you, okay? He wants more of you, right? So here's how it works. The first thing that happens is that your heart is changed. You know, new life has come. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus has come into your life. You know, you have an awareness of Jesus like you've never had before. You don't know much. You're called a babe in Jesus, a babe in Christ. You don't maybe know much. You may even know a lot of things that are not quite right. There's going to be a lot of changing and transforming that's going to come by the power of God. But you've entered into a relationship, and it happened because you let Jesus come into your heart. You give your heart to Jesus. You give your heart to Jesus. Well, then the next thing that happens is that you find that your mind starts getting affected. Your thoughts, the way you think, your values, what you even thought about yourself, things that you realize. And this is a process. This is a process of the dawning of light. It's coming from your heart, you know, because you've been born again by the Spirit of God, and it's beginning to invade. It invades every single area and realm of your being. It begins to invade. It begins to expand. It begins to infiltrate. You know, sometimes people get sidetracked. Sometimes people get off in a ditch, you know, and they retard this this process. I mean, we all have our challenges. We all have things, our conflicts and difficulties. But the Spirit of God is always moving in this way, and He never stops. He never stops because the fulfillment of it all is that one day you shall be made like Him. That is the fullness of the fulfillment of the salvation of God. The fulfillment of the salvation of God, that one day in the twinkling of an eye, you will be made like Him. And then your heart's been changed, starts invading your thoughts. Mindset changes, your mindset, your opinions, all values, all these things, they begin to change about you, you know, in your mind. You know, and then the next thing is that your ways get changed, your actions. You know, I don't want to do that no more. You know, a matter of fact, I didn't even know what I was doing. You know, it's such a habit of being like that. I didn't even know that I was, you know. But now I see this is the enlightenment of Almighty God that comes into your heart and your life. And you begin to realize, oh, you know, listen, that's not pleasing to the Lord. I don't want to be like that. I don't want that in my life. If you have anything like that in your life right now, welcome and invite the power of God. I'm going to read this again, then I'm going to close. And this is in Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And just so you see this, verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. And here's how it's revealed. From faith to faith. And just as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, you know, you understand that that's a quote. And that quote is coming from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, which is one of the oldest books in the Bible, okay? You know, so man, God has always called man into a faith relationship. He's always called man into a faith relationship. You know, the law did not set aside the Abrahamic covenant. You understand? You know, that's why there were those that were walking with God, because they didn't make the law the relationship. Christians do it today. They make legalistic things. They make truth. They turn it into legal forms. And then if they just follow after the regulations and the rules, then they're just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There's not any difference. And a blindness comes in. They can't see when God comes up. There were those in the temple, right? Oh, the salvation of God. How did He know that? With this little baby here. It was revealed to him. Now, so God is always moves through faith. The Abrahamic covenant was not abolished. The law didn't replace the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? And there were those, the remnant of God, that walked in that covenant. And they walked in the covenant of the Lord. They weren't like the Pharisees and Sadducees and turned it into rules and the regulations and the whatnot. And those are the ones that were walking in covenant with the Lord. So it is today. There are those that walk in covenant with God, and there's those that turn the gospel into rules and regulations and orders and this and that. And all you got to do is go through the mechanical process. If you go through the mechanical process, that means that you got it. It's just not true. It's just not true. Faith. Faith. From faith to faith. That ought to encourage you. I hope it encourages you, because it says that once you come into faith, you start practicing faith and live by faith and walk by faith, that God's going to increase your faith. Okay? He's going to, from faith to faith. Isn't that what it says? Right? From faith, you're in faith, you got faith. But guess what? We're coming into more. I better shut up. Had to do with that word this morning. Harry, I had the Holy Spirit speaking to me that somebody here that you're afraid to let go. You're afraid to let go. Okay? and giving your whole heart to Jesus. You're afraid of living for the Lord. You're afraid of living for the Lord. And it's created a hesitation in your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. He's trying to stop you because there's no reason to fear. There's no reason to fear. Don't be afraid to step out with your whole heart and make the decision that I'm going to live for the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for the Lord. That's the end of that. No more of this dilly-dallying around. You know, no more of this shifting back and forth. No more in my heart. Oh, no, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. You make that decision today, and do not let the evil one cheat you any longer, and no longer be afraid. No longer be afraid. Okay? I'm going to pray that prayer in just a minute, but this is a day of victory. This is a day of victory. Okay? Where do you need victory? This salvation, this preserving, this deliverance, this power of the person of Jesus by the Holy Spirit is invading your whole being. He's wanting to invade your whole being. He will invade your whole being. It's what it means to go forward in the Lord. Where do you need to see the power of God? God's not looking for you to straighten things up. He'll straighten it up. Just let him do it. Just let him do it. Well, I can't change. I can't change. I can't change. I can't change. You don't have to. You don't have to. He will change you. He will change you. Don't let that, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. How? Simply believing, right? I'm going to pray for that one or ones or whoever. Maybe it's a matter of going forward. Maybe it's a matter of that, you know, I'm afraid to go forward. I'm afraid of what's going to cost me. I'm afraid of what the Lord will want from me. I'm afraid of what he want me to give up. You know, these are fiery darts of hell against you. That's what they are, okay? Because the Lord's not going to do anything to you but be good. I'm telling you right now, he's not going to do anything. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord God, that every barrier and every stronghold, Father, that Lord that speaks to the heart, that Father God, every lie, every fiery dart, Lord, let it be brought down now in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, let even the power of God come to that one or ones or whatever it would be, Lord God, Lord, that afraid to fully live for the Lord. Lord, right now, I just want to thank you for bringing down that fear, bring down that hesitation in the name of Jesus. Bring down, Lord God, every barrier and every obstacle in the name of Jesus. Would everybody say with me, Lord Jesus, today I give you my whole heart. I choose today, I will live for Jesus. Take me by the hand and make me, Lord, into everything that you want me to be in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you all come? Thank you.
God, that they may come to know you. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, King of Glory. And everyone said,
amen. All right, Kathy, would you all come? Praise his holy name. Glory to the Lord. Let's just... That's broken off of you in the name of Jesus. You know, I wasn't supposed to be... They induced labor in the seventh month. My mother had uremic poisoning. They were trying to save her. That was their point, was to save her. This was in the 50s. I weighed 4 pounds.